VIP. Let's kick it.
This is the South Dakota sex symbol. Zero Radio.
What's up, wrestling fans? Welcome to this Heart River Rumble recap edition. Try to say that five times fast.
No, thank you.
Of the Below Zero Radio podcast. I am your host, Showtime Rocky Allen, and back in the Below Zero studio is my good friend, Below Zero Commissioner Nick Stokey, who actually had some commissioning that he had to do out in Bismarck. We'll get to that in a little bit. Our buddy Sylvester J. Fox causing issues, as he is sometimes wont to do. Shall we dive quickly into the news? And I think the big news out in Bismarck is that Mac just didn't show up.
Nowhere to be found. Sylvester and Matthias both not knowing where he was at. Myself not knowing where he was at. He was not available in Bismarck.
Very, very interesting stuff. And you know what? I'm going to put myself on the case. Showtime Rocky Allen, investigative journalism coming. Could have some findings on BZW social media shortly.
I feel like you're the man for the job, so let's get it.
All right. Glendive, Montana, May 6th.
Correct.
Tickets on sale. We'll get a little bit more. We've got some announcements there. We'll get to that towards the end of the show. But the spots are already sold out the front row. So you cannot sit in the front row.
You cannot sit in the front row.
You can go out to Montana, but you can't sit in the front row. Presented by our friends at Flashback Gaming, who, as we mentioned, sold out the front row.
Yes.
But should be a lot of fun. And BZW getting our tentacles into Montana is fun as well.
Yeah, not too far in. I mean, we're only a few miles across the border, but we're in Montana.
It's another state. Check it off the list. Worldwide, Below Zero Wrestling. All right, let's get into the Heart River Rumble recap. And oh my God, that crowd!
Insane. From the start, one, we were putting out chairs literally until the first bell.
Yeah, 400 plus.
Yeah,
in attendance. Interesting venue.
Yeah, it very similar to when we did this one's for the vets in Harwood, North Dakota a few months back. Old 4-H building.
Right, here's an empty shop. Let's make a wrestling event.
Yeah, and it was full. It was very full from fans and vendors and all alike, and very loud, and it was very fun as well.
It was so fun. The crowd was so hot. And as you mentioned, like, it didn't seem like the most wrestling crowd in the world, right? Like, not your hardcore independent wrestling fans, but very quickly understood who to boo, understood who to cheer, understood when to cheer, and were just all about it. So fun, and the sponsors did a great job. Both the Spirits Company.
Heart
River Spirits.
Big Dog Tiki Bar, same company. Just two different things that they have. Yeah, they did a wonderful job slinging drinks all night, promoting the event, everything like that.
Shout out to New York To Go, the pizza.
Yes.
I was very sad. I was waiting on them to get the iPad because I didn't have cash. I was waiting on them to get the iPad. It never came, so I never got pizza. That's not true. They did drop off some pizzas for the boys, so I got late, somewhat warm pizza, but even that was...
I must have missed that.
You must have. I that's maybe my fault. Number one contenders match starts. Rampage Santana sick. We know where he was.
He was in bed.
Yeah.
He was not feeling well.
We know where he was, so Rampage Santana down, and that's a missed opportunity.
Yep.
I mean, that's got to be something that'll drive him in the future, and who knows? You might not just hand him another opportunity. You know, you're unable to answer the bell. Sometimes those opportunities go by the wayside, but Stonehenge and Jake Taylor are unable to actually have a number one contenders match. Whole big thing. Stonehenge attacks Jake. The ref takes a bump, and Jack just steps in and says, "You both want a shot at the title. I'll give you both a shot at the title." And off to a main event triple threat championship match we are.
Yeah, it started a little crazy there, you know, with Stonehenge and Jake Taylor. Jack stepped in as a champion and, you know, said, listen, these guys deserve a match out here. There's supposed to be a championship match, and if you guys aren't going to get this going, then let's make it a three-way. And the crowd, that's pretty much where they started and just never stopped from there, you know, with the craziness.
So we get to our actual first match, which is Bobby Brandon coming off, of course, the loss at WinterSlam. Enormous setback. Losing to his brother, losing a world championship, you know, opportunity or the top title in BZW. And he is that Bobby Brennan now. I mean, I don't want to say there's no coming back, but chicken ass heel stuff all day long. You know, Mr. Incredible could hardly get hands on him, couldn't get the match going, taking a powder, just constant. Like I said, chicken ass stuff from Bobby. But boy, he's impressive. Also impressive though, the strength from Mr. Incredible. He is a big athletic dude, and when he gets hands on you, he's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, this was no easy task for, you know, Bobby to come back and say, you know, here's your next match, and it's against Mr. Incredible, one of the, you know, most well-rounded veterans, you know, in that BZW locker room. And you know that when the bell rings, he's going to take it to you. And those guys took it to each other. I mean, they fought, and they fought hard.
Well, and we always talk about, right, if you're not going to go on last, go on first. Then technically they weren't even booked to go on first, but they did. And I think the hard-hitting action there really set the tone for that crowd.
I agree. That crowd ate that up. I've told some guys that they could have went out there and they could have had a thumb war.
Yeah.
And that crowd would have been crazy. And when that crowd does what it did in Bismarck, that elevates those guys in the ring as well. And because of that, Bobby and Mr. Incredible left everything out there. There was nothing left of those two when that match was over.
As we mentioned, great match. And then ultimately, Bobby hits Mr. Incredible with a hammer. We've got Zach out there checking. We got both referees. It was a little bit of a scary moment, and Bobby will do absolutely anything to get the win, and that's what we saw in Bismarck.
Yeah, it's a new era, a new side of Bobby that we haven't seen, and you know him taking that hammer out there against Mr. Incredible. It not scary might not be the right word, but it's some guys will take notice in the back that he did that.
Absolutely, we get to the tag match. And that was, you know, supposed to be just kind of your run-of-the-mill tag match with Jackson Slater and Mason Mayhem taking on Mac and Mathias. All of a sudden, A, as we mentioned, no Mac. It's not there. And B, Sly has all sorts of stuff to say about, you know, not getting the Sub-Zero Championship opportunities, not getting the Below Zero Wrestling Championship opportunities, deserving this, not getting that. Typical Sly stuff, but he calls you out, your music hits, and all of a sudden, you're giving them what they want. Talk to me about the thought process there.
You know, and like I said there isn't many times I agree with Mr. Fox. We've had, you know, from our very first show, we've had our issues, and whether it's in the ring or backstage or at any point. But, you know, this is a tag match that had a lot of great competitors in it, if you break it down, of who's in the ring. And, you know, after NDS won those titles at WinterSlam, they need a number one contender. And so the thought in my head was always the winner of that match was going to get that shot at those tag belts. Now, did Sly know that going out there? No. But when he demands it, and it's already in my head, I said, fine. But it's got to be in a tag match, and there was no Mac, so we did what we had to do, and I told Sly if he wants that opportunity, Sly's guys needs to compete in a tag match.
Yeah, he was Sylvester J. Fox all too fast to offer up Mathias in a handicap match against Mayhem and Slater, but you weren't having it, and ultimately, though, I will say, it ended up basically being a handicap match. Great mat work, good job by Mathias, who was coming off of, you know, a couple losses, and I would guess is probably very happy with his work there. But in the end, you know, Mathias is going to Mathias in a low blow for the win. which sets up a match versus NDS at Wrestleversary. And so we will get NDS's first Below Zero Wrestling BZW tag team. But who against whom? And let me get a clarification on this, because I asked Sly a little off to the side if he felt like the Freebird rules apply to Sly's guys. Can Sly's guys have any two Sly's guys compete for the title? And should they win those championships, does it become just two championships that belong to Sly's guys that anybody that he, you know, is able to grab is able to go? Because ever so, you know, noticeable are the numbers of Sly's guys dwindling. You don't see the system as often. You don't. You know what I mean? You're starting to get the numbers. Are we starting to see the cracks form with Sly's guys?
I mean, that's a great point, and it's one that after that match was made, and after they pick up that victory, that, you know, a couple people are saying, so is Sly and Matthias the number one contenders? Are Sly's guys the number one contenders? You know, who is the number one contender? Because Sylvester J. Fox is not a wrestler, minus, yes, he has gotten
the last two events.
Yes. But again, he is not a contracted wrestler with Below Zero Wrestling. And sure. So, you know, that's something that we at BZW and in the offices and officials have to talk about. And I can't say that that's been decided upon yet. Will the Freebird rule be in effect or not?
Sure. And obviously when I went solo, I flew solo. Speaking of Freebirds, I flew solo. There's a segue for you right there. I flew solo last week and had Brandon Nitro on the show. He was great. Enjoyed, you know, getting to kind of peel back the curtain with Brandon a little bit, sort of giving the South Dakota Sultan of Sexy some time to connect with the BZW audience. And that's exactly what he does, man, is connect with the BZW audience. His ability, and I thought it was funny because, like, it's an all-ages show. Kids everywhere. And by the way, excited kids. And so you're wondering, like, how are the hip thrusts going to go over with mom and dad? And everybody seemed to just kind of roll with it. Those guys didn't touch for about the first 8 minutes, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter because, you know, they're chanting Joey at Joseph Anderson, who does not go by Joey.
Do not call him Joey.
And so he's getting angry, and, you know, Nitro's getting checked for weapons, and he's gyrating, and that was just, man, you talk about Below Zero Wrestling being voted as a top two destination for entertainment in the Fargo-Moorhead area. That was entertainment. That it couldn't have been more over.
Yeah, that match had a little bit of everything. I mean, when you're talking, you know, wrestling or entertainment, it had a little bit of everything. And it'll be, I mean, it was a very good match itself as well. But that crowd ate those two up.
Yes.
In exactly how they were supposed to. You know, they loved Nitro and they hated Joey or Joseph. You know, they hated and loved. And so and veterans, you know, veterans of the sport. So.
And that was the big thing, is we did get excellent technical wrestling when they did lock up. Joseph Anderson is a good hand. Brandon Nitro is a very entertaining but very technically solid wrestler. And boy, Joseph's angle slam on Nitro was absolutely electric. But Brandon able to kick out, hits the Nitro splash, and gets back on track with a W after losing that Sub-Zero title opportunity against Kyle Pro at Winter Slam. So big things potentially ahead for Brandon Nitro.
Yes, I mean, he's always been a guy from the get-go that's always been around the top. He's always been there. You know, he's had a few opportunities and a few opportunities that he hasn't been able to capitalize on. But I feel that Brandon's not going to be one of those guys that ever leaves that area of BZW. He's too good.
Yeah, and that was one big thing that he said, you know, was I don't want to be the guy that gets put in a place where I get this title opportunity and I fail. And that for me was telling, was like, I got my heavyweight title shot in the ladder match. I didn't get it done. I got put into the Sub-Zero championship match. I didn't get it done. I need to be more than the guy who doesn't get it done.
Yeah. And I think after when he came back into the locker room after that, you saw a little bit of fire in his eyes, knowing that, hey, I got one back. Let's keep going.
Because the bank stuff is funny.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, like, he wants wins.
Yes.
He wants to pin shoulders to Matt's.
Yeah, and yeah, as much as his as fun as he has during intermission, because after that match we go to intermission, and I'm usually in intermission, I'm kind of walking around, talking to some people, talking to fans. I spent like 15 minutes of the 15-minute intermission holding Brandon Nitro's drink and piece of pizza so he could take pictures with all the kids and the families and all that kind of stuff. So he knows when to be fun Brandon Nitro, fan-loving Brandon Nitro, but also when to get it in that ring and beat the crap out of someone.
And I'm going to take this time just to like briefly comment, because this was one of my, or this was my first show as quote-unquote one of the boys. You guys have built such an amazing culture at BZW. I watched, you could certainly have your match, go sit in the back, or have your match and leave, frankly. Brandon had to get back to Sioux Falls.
Yeah, they had a nice long drive.
And what do these guys do? Almost to a man, find a place to watch their friends' matches. Find a place to watch the rest of the card. You got your literal world champion, Jack Ledger, chilling at his merch table, but taking in every single person's match, and wishing them well, and wishing them, you know, a safe, you know, journey through that match. But like, these guys are so invested in each other's success, and for me, that is so much fun to watch. I really enjoy it.
That locker room, and I've said it from the get-go, and it's only progressed on every show that we've had. Our locker room is amazing. And it's because from match one to match six, seven, or eight, however many you have on that card, the locker room is invested in the event. It's not just, hey, my match is number two, so that's what I'm going to go and do. Right. And then I'm done. Then I'm going to go and have my piece of pizza, change my gear, and I'm going to see if I can hit the road early.
Right, right, right.
I mean, a guy like Joey Anderson or Joseph Anderson, I will always call him Joey. But, you know,
he get your ass kicked over that.
Well, it's a good thing he's not in the room right now. He had to drive to Omaha that night, and they're driving after a show, and he's going back to Omaha. You just lost. It had been very easy for him to say, screw you to everyone else and leave, but he doesn't. He sits, he watches, he talks, he, you know, so that when you talk about culture, when you talk about locker room, I have a hard time ever saying a single bad thing about those guys back there.
Sub-Zero title match. Kyle Pro, the missing piece, versus Uriah Upton. Uriah stepping in for our guy, Downtown Petey Brown, another Below Zero Wrestling, Below Zero Radio alum in Downtown Petey Brown. Hopefully there's not a BZW curse. Well, you know what? No. Nitro already broke the Below Zero Radio curse because he won. So he got the Below Zero Radio bump. There's no curse. There's a bump.
There you go.
So, you know, if you want to win...
We're not talking Madden curse here.
Yeah. You want a match, you want to win a match, come on Below Zero Radio. Uriah is a very talented high flyer, and I thought a really interesting matchup for Pro, who's, you know, more of a ground-based strength, Claudio almost type. Like, if I was to give him a BZW comp, it would be Claudio from AEW, a guy that he's not built like Powerhouse Hobbs, he's not built like Wardlow, but he's a brick S house, man. Like, Kyle Pro's a strong guy.
He is strong, and I mean, it is no easy task to step inside the ring with him. And Uriah, brand new, debuts for BZW at that event after Downtown Petey Brown comes to me and says, listen, I can't make it. I injured my ankle. This sucks, but I have a guy that can fit my role, you know, step into my shoes and take a chance on this guy. And let me tell you, Uriah can fly. He can move around that ring. That was no easy task for Kyle Pro. So I'll be very excited to see what Uriah does now that he's been in front of the BZW fans, now that he's been in the locker room, you know, where he goes from here at Below Zero Wrestling.
Pro's fur coat is so good.
I loved it. I loved it. It fits him. It's his personality. You know, you get to know these guys behind the scenes and everything like that, and it fits him. And when I looked at him and I saw him put that fur coat on and I said something to it, it was just like smiling, light, you know, just he was like, I love it. I'm glad that you like it and all that kind of stuff, because it was really good.
Ultimately, Kyle Pro just too strong. 1, 2, 3, and still your Sub-Zero champion. But a hell of a showing for Uriah Upton, who I'm sure will be around again. And you talk about two guys that have been around, Rock Solid Ross against Nick the Natural Nelson. A homecoming for Nelson, and he immediately turned the crowd against him. That was amazing because he's in Bismarck, he's in his hometown, and
mom and dad are in the crowd.
Mom and dad are in the crowd, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter. He wanted nothing to do with it.
No, he is Nick the Natural Nelson, no matter if he's in his hometown or if he's 10 states away.
Yep.
And he knows how to make that crowd hate him.
Yeah.
And they do a great job at it.
They do. Hard hitting action. Shout out Big E. Big meaty men slapping meat. This was, yeah. You know, BZW may not be the land of the Giants. Not a ton of guys who are 6'5", 260 rolling around BZW. But Rock Solid and Nick Nelson are big humans in the heavyweight division at Below Zero Wrestling. And they put on an impactful show. Ultimately, though, Nick Nelson grabs the tights and gets a W.
Yeah, it was just your classic solid match. I remember seeing a picture from one of them from that match. You talk about big guys hitting each other hard, and Rock Solid had slapped Nelson across the chest, and you could see like how imprinted his hand.
Yeah, the handprint. Yeah, I saw that.
You know, so there was no slouching around in that match at all.
Your main event: Stonehenge then versus Jack Ledger versus Jake Taylor. Jake Taylor, now coming off the emotional promo at WinterSlam, hard to like I said, 100% figure out what exactly he was talking about. We might have some more about what that means later on Below Zero Wrestling social channels, because I was on the case.
Yes.
Showtime Rocky Allen was on the case. So we will potentially get more from Jake on what exactly he meant at WinterSlam when he addressed the crowd. But that all could have been taken care of right here. You know, wanting to become a champion in 2023, it was right there in front of him. And he and Jack, former tag team partners, tried to take out the big man right away, tried to make it a little one-on-one match. Stonehenge, obviously, the biggest threat, a absolute mountain of a man. And those two tried to kind of make it a one-on-one contest going early.
Yeah, you saw it right away with some kicks, some drop kicks, some double team maneuvers that, you know, Jake and Jack were, you know, using against Stonehenge. Gets him out of the ring. Nice little show of respect by the two former tag team partners. Those guys in the back, you know, they have a lot of respect for each other. And they went and they, you know, put on a great one-on-one match there for a little while until Stonehenge, you know, was able to get back into that match.
And yeah, ultimately, you know, Stonehenge able to get back into the match because Jack tried to put him down for good with that insane move over the top rope to try and kind of finish off Stonehenge and create that one-on-one advantage, you know, for Jack, but ran into a little guardrail problem, did the Ice King. And Stonehenge then able to get back in the ring. And at that point, he'd been recuperating.
Yes.
You know, so he's kind of fresh back in the ring. Jake Taylor's been putting on a four-star match with Jack Ledger the entire time and hits a big sidewalk slam. Looks like he's going to be, because that's the triple threat problem, right? If you're Jack Ledger, that's why his challenge was so impressive, because Stonehenge pins Jake Taylor in the middle of the ring. Who's the new BZW champion?
Stonehenge.
And did Jack have anything to do with it?
No.
And that's the scary part about the triple threat. And so when you know, Stonehenge hits the big sidewalk slam on Jake, I'm thinking, oh my God, Jack hit the barricade. Kind of his fault, because that was a little psychotic, but he's not going to be involved in the finish. And Stonehenge is going to be this massive BZW champion who's going to, you know, and obviously everything happened really fast, so I wasn't having all these thoughts. But big sidewalk slam on Jake. And then the, whatever you want to call it, the double stomp, the coup de grace, whatever it is you want to call it, out of absolutely nowhere, Jack Ledger off the top rope, hits Stonehenge, 1, 2, 3, and still your Below Zero Wrestling champion. Jack's one of a kind, man.
Yeah, I mean, he tried to make an opportunity, he tried to make something happen when he dives over that top rope, and, you know, in doing so, he injured himself in that match where he's, you know, did it work 100% the way he wanted to? Maybe not, but it did get back. He got up. Now he's going off the top rope. I mean, he laid it on the line, and it's not to say that those other guys don't, but Jack is a one-of-a-kind guy, and that's why he's the champion, you know, because of the way to adapt, the way to, you know, get back into things.
Unbelievable show. So yes. much fun. Enjoyed Bismarck. Hope we get back out there. And good venue, hot crowd. Enjoyed working with Heart River Spirits. Enjoyed, like I said, the pizza joint. And, man, just a great time. Big show announcements, as we mentioned, May 6th, the Badlands Brawl in Glendive, Montana. We took something away from the people. The front row seats. Yes. Can't have them.
They're gone.
Give something back to the people. Give me a scoop. Give me some information. All right. I need it.
Okay. Well, you know, because we had our show in Bismarck, because we had Winter Slam, you know, we've announced that we were going out to Montana. We haven't done a lot of talent announcements, but our great partners out there, Flashback Gaming, have done a great job already because we see that the front rows are sold out. And because of stuff like that, you're able to bring in talent that some people may remember seeing on TV, on WWE or TNA. And the first person that they announced, actually, that we're going to be having out there is a guy that's now wrestling in NWA. Used to go by the name of Chris Masters. And is now growing.
Chris Adonis?
He's now Chris Adonis.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. So big name to have on an event. You know, he's instantly makes an event a little bit, you know, feel a bit more special. This is a guy that's been on national TV. Yep. This is all that. And then I'll give you one more since you asked so nicely. Just a couple days ago, Flashback Pro or Flashback Gaming messages me and says, let's give one more to the fans. JTG from Crime Time will also be gracing us with his presence at the Badlands Brawl.
That's awesome. So two former WWE guys, two guys current, obviously very active in the business, Chris Adonis and JTG. And again, shout out to Flashback Gaming for not only bringing us those two talents, but selling out the front row. So if the family needs a trip out to Montana, or you're listening to this and you're one of our Western North Dakota or Eastern Montana fans, Badlands Brawl is going to be awesome.
All those Bismarck fans, we're only 2.5 hours maybe from Bismarck into Glendive.
Right.
So, you know, hopefully a few of those fans will make that drive and make this a great debut show.
Same
as well.
Same thing for Bobby Brennan and Jack Letcher fans in Minot. Not a tough trip.
No.
Okay, May 21st, The Sanctuary, Wrestleversary. Talk about it. Tickets are going to be on sale soon, right?
Very soon.
Okay.
Yes.
Keep in mind, folks, early access for those on the email list. That's where you're going to get all your BZW information, tickets, merch, all of the things you want to know about BZW. Just get on the email list, and we'll give it to you. You don't need to go looking for it. It'll just show up in your inbox. Check that stuff out at BZW's Facebook, or just right there at BelowZeroWrestling.com.
Exactly. Tickets are going to be on sale soon, and that's going to be an amazing event.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Nick, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks to our wonderful sponsors, Prairie Pest Control and Tundra Insurance. And we'll catch you next time on Below Zero Radio.